Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
I'd like to take a few minutes today to talk to you about the subject of money and what I believe God might have to say to us about it. I went into a bookshop the other day and asked the salesperson, "Have you any books on money management?" And they said, "Yeah, over there, Beyond Fiction." Author Jill Shalvis, who I don't know, apparently once said, "They say money talks, but all mine ever seems to say is goodbye." And Albert Einstein said, "Preparing my tax return is too difficult for a mathematician. It takes a philosopher." This area can be very complex and confusing. If even Albert Einstein had difficulty in understanding financial issues, then we can be forgiven for thinking this is very confusing indeed. I'm a financial planner, so I spend my weekdays speaking with families about their money and helping them to plan for their futures. I should say at this point that I'm not such an obsessive that I think about money all the time, and that I feel the need to speak to you about it on my day off particularly. Nevertheless, I have spent a good deal of time thinking about it, and I do think that our attitude to money and our use of it is something that's a really key and important part of our discipleship as followers of Jesus. For a number of reasons. Firstly, whether we have very little money or a lot of it, we all of us are prone to making lots of mistakes in this area. In fact, if I'm honest, my own mistakes are probably the chief qualification I have for speaking to you today, not my professional qualifications. In that I've made a lot of mistakes and I've hopefully learned and hopefully continue to learn from these. Secondly, in the UK, we are not very good about talking about this. We often regard it as a private matter, and I observe that as Christians, whilst we're very comfortable talking about giving, we're less comfortable talking about other aspects of how we handle our money. There are also, thirdly, many voices out there talking about this in the media, social media, and so on. Not all of them that helpful. And I believe that we, as a community of God, owe it to ourselves to understand what God has to say on the subject. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about money, possessions, and wealth. I'm going to say that again to get the point home. The Bible has a lot to say on this. Somebody other than me sat down and counted the verses, and apparently there are around 2,000. And that's a lot, by any stretch of the imagination, more than many other subjects in Scripture. And when the Bible mentions something a lot, I believe that we ought to sit up and take notice of what it's saying. So given that there are 2,000 verses and we've only a few minutes, what's going to be our way into this morning? Well, a really good place to start is here, I think. And if I can have my first slide, please, Dan. Sorry, Rowan. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." In other words, it all belongs to God. Haggai 2, verse 8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." In other words, it all belongs to Him. Or to summarize both these verses, God owns it all. Let's just pause on this and reflect on the implications of it. We tend to think, I think, that the first part of our money is the bit that we give to God, and what's left as ours to do with as we please. But if God owns it all, even the bit we regard as ours is actually His. If God owns it all, what does that make us? We're not ourselves owners. We might be better described as tenants, custodians, caretakers. If I had a lawyer here, they might explain to me and to us that by explaining it this way, that owners have rights, stewards and tenants have responsibility. Now this puts a very different perspective on the verse in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, which says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Since it's not as, perhaps on first reading, we might think, that we ourselves have been given ownership of the earth and can do with it what we like, but more that we are tenants who have been trusted with the Lord's property. And whilst he's given it as a resource for us to use for the benefit of us, our families, our communities, we're also looking after it for him. But we can go further than this. If God owns it all, then when it comes to our management of money, our spending, our borrowing, our saving, and our giving decisions all have spiritual implications. Since we're making use of not our resources, but God's resources. So maybe, just maybe, these are things that we should bring before the Lord in prayer. Now, I'm not saying that when we go to a corner shop to buy a loaf of bread and we think about whether or not we're buying white, brown, or granary, that we seek the Lord for guidance. But if we hold in mind that it is his, and that he is the God of love who wants only good things for his children and all his creation, then how we allocate the money and other resources we have at our disposal is something we might wish to bring before him. There's a huge amount to unpack about all of this, which is beyond the scope of our time today, but I just want to end by leaving us with three questions. I think that we can regard money as being a test, a testimony, and a tool. Money can be a test of our faith. Someone wisely said, "Show me the bank statement and I'll show you the person." In other words, how we spend or invest our money, the things we buy, what we do in our spare time, all speak volumes about what is important to us, about what is in our hearts. And of course, the same can be true of where we invest our time, our gifts, and our skills as well. In Luke 12, Jesus says, "Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So in the light of this, we might want to ask ourselves, where is our treasure? Certainly, money can be a testimony to God, of God, and to others about God. There's a kind of mantra in financial planning, which is the longer term your perspective, the better your decision making. If we believe that we're followers of Jesus and our home truly is in heaven for eternity with him, we're called to use the money we have at our disposal to do things which have eternal significance for his kingdom. In other words, we will place our treasure in heaven and not on earth. In the light of this, we might want to ask ourselves, how long term is our perspective? And finally, money is also a tool. I'm quite a fan of the Marvel films, and we might want to look to Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man, for what I describe as the Spider-Man principle. With great power comes great responsibility. If indeed we have, everything we have belongs to God and we are being asked to steward it for Him, which means that we should use it for His purposes, then we've been entrusted with responsibility. And the richer we are, the more wealth, power, and influence we have, the more responsibility is upon us to use it for the advancement of God's kingdom. We might therefore wish to ask ourselves, what are our responsibilities with regard to this money that we have at our disposal? Or what purposes of God can we fulfill? To conclude, I'm very aware that many different situations are represented here in this community and in our city. Some of us are living comfortably. Some of us receive as little as £49 a week in asylum seeker support. For some of us here, whether we earn through work or not, perhaps we're struggling with issues relating to money or with debt, and we value talking to somebody about it. I brought along a resource sheet which is available with the stewards at the back. If we run out, we can make more available. So if that's you, please seek out some help. You'll also find that members of the clergy are trained and would be very, very happy to speak to you. So if that's you, do seek out help there as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the St George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.